Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
In the beginning of the Bible story, God writes his Ten Commandments on stone. People didn't have any difficulty knowing what he wanted them to do. The difficulty was in finding the heart to do it. In fact, in Jeremiah 3:10, God told his people, Judah did not return to me with her whole heart, only in pretense. God was saying that you've experienced all the good things of life. You've experienced a great king. You have experienced King Hosea as he came to you and tore down all the pagan altars. You have experienced the finding of the scriptures that have been lost to you for years and years because your hearts were cold. You didn't realize that they were there for you all the time. And now you have had them open to you and you understand for the first time how great is the love of God. You saw the Passover restored. But while this has changed some of your behaviors, it has failed to change your heart. When you have smoked a long time, your lungs, which are soft and palatable, become less so. Over a period of time, the oxygen has harder and harder time getting through that hardened place in your lungs and getting out to you. And so you find it harder when you run or even walk. These are the consequences of smoking a long, long time, is that your lungs become hard. That also is an explanation of our hearts. If we remain hidden away from God, if we fail to listen to the still small voice of God, then our hearts become hardened. And if you ignore the still small voice of God for long enough, you can read the Bible until you're blue in the face. But it doesn't mean that your life will be changed. You will not receive the breath of God because your hardheartedness prevents it. Let us pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we pray today that you will breathe on us, that we will feel the infilling of your Spirit within us. Father, we cry out that we need you, like David said, to give us a new heart. A broken and contrite heart we know you love. So break our hearts if necessary. Do whatever is necessary to make us once again be transformed into the creature that you created to hear your voice in the cool of the evening. That we may regain the promise of paradise. That we may know that you are with us to sustain us, protect us, and keep us. Father, as always, I ask you to cast my words out. My words are nothing. But Father, your words are words of life and death, and we need those words. We need those words deep within us, written on our hearts, so that we can then begin to live the life that you have set before us. A life of victory by your Spirit. A life that is pleasing to you. Father, let us have ears to hear this morning. Let us have minds to process. But most of all, let us have hearts that receive. For we ask In Jesus' precious name, amen. Would you turn with me to Jeremiah? And we'll start with chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God is telling his people something very simple. You don't need a king to tell you, thou shalt not. You don't need that. Not any longer. Now you need the Holy Spirit to say, I will. I will. It's not that you don't know what you ought to do. The things that you ought to do are written plainly for any to see. It is because you don't have the heart, the courage, the boldness to act upon what your heart is telling you. I don't know how many times I've heard, Pastor, you don't understand why I don't like organized religion. I don't like organized religion. I hate it. My father's dragged me off to Sunday school and church, and I hated it. It was boring. I never saw how it applied to my life. Pastor just stood up there, and he was the biggest hypocrite of all, and he just would make all kinds of pronouncements and say all kinds of things and not live it. I just got fed up to hear with it. And so when I was old enough, I left my parents' house and I left the church. And that's perhaps how you feel today. Maybe you felt that way before. Maybe as a child you've been brought today and you think, oh, what's this all about? Why am I having to sit here, listen? What good is it for me? You probably reject the authority that of what you do here from the Scriptures because you don't like it. And yet, there's something. There's a hole in your heart that you feel like needs to be filled. There's something out there that you know you need, something that you love. Something that loves you, that only you could understand. You want, deep down in your heart, a knowledge of the one true God. That's what you desire. You may have said, well, no, I don't want that. But that is, in fact, what all of us desire. We desire to know God. And that's exactly what God is saying here. There is a problem with the heart. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things. It is beyond cure. Who can understand it? I don't know. Jeremiah 17:1 says, Judah's sin is engraved with an iron tool, inscribed with a fine point on the tablets of their hearts and on the horns of their altars. Sin is written in two places, it says here. One, it is written on that place that is the Holy of Holies. It is that place where God Himself resides. And when we sin, we try to come into His presence with the sin and the guilt of that sin still on us. And that is a terrible thing to do when you have a holy God who cannot abide sin. The second place we sin is in our hearts. It's as though someone had painted graffiti all over the inside of our secret heart. And we're trying to get rid of that graffiti. And when sin enters our hearts, it becomes engraved in our character. The Bible teaches us that, to some extent, sin is scrawled upon every human heart. All of us have fallen, along with Adam and Eve. All of us need the regeneration that only God can give. It is in our hearts. Our actions, our thoughts, our speech are only the fruit raised in the garden of our hearts. Out of the mouth, a man says all kinds of things, but it comes from the garden of his heart. God is not looking for behavior modification. He doesn't want you to stop doing something because you hear, "Thou shalt not." He wants you to start doing something because you hear, "I will." Because you say, "I will." David cries out in the Psalms, "Make a new heart in me." God wants to clean our hearts, to cleanse our hearts. Now, there are three ways in which you cannot clean the heart. I'm going to say that again. There are three ways in which it is impossible for you to clean the heart. The first is fear. You cannot fear yourself into a clean heart. Every hellfire and brimstone sermon you've ever heard scream from a pulpit does not change a heart. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. It does not change you. When the people of Israel heard Jesus, they heard God's voice on Mount Sinai. They heard His voice. And they were frightened in this awesome display of God's presence on the mountain. There was a thunder that they heard. There was lightning that they saw. There was all kinds of things that overwhelmed their senses. But they simply did not cleanse their hearts. You know, it didn't cleanse their hearts. Fear didn't. Because in a matter of weeks, they had constructed, were dancing around and worshiping a golden calf. Here they were, frightened to death, but seeking something else instead of God. So fear is not a way to do it. Prosperity will not cleanse your heart. The people of Israel were given a land of milk and honey, land of prosperity. They were free. They had every option in the world. They could do anything they wanted to do. God's blessing was on them. Can you imagine the blessings of God coming upon you in a similar way? God is blessing you. He is pouring Himself out on you. You have breath. You are here. You're not sitting on hard rock someplace listening to someone. You're in a nice air-conditioned building. God loves you. He has provided for you so that you may understand. But the same message that Jesus preached to people who sat on a rock, He preaches to people who sit on cushions today. It is the hearing, not the prosperity, that makes a difference. Oh, I know. In our culture, we sometimes think that if we just throw enough money at the problem, that will change everything. That people won't act evil or be bad or do anything. They'll be model citizens if they just have enough money. You know that's not true. Because the human heart doesn't change because it has a change of address or a change of circumstance. God wants you to have a heart that reflects Him. He wants that desperately. And the third reason that you cannot change the heart is with religion. Oh my goodness. Pastor, what are you saying? Religion can't change the heart. No. Religion can't change the heart. There has never been in history a more religious people, ever in history, than the people of Israel. They were the most religious people you ever heard. As a matter of fact, the Pharisees were the people who really kept every dot and tittle of the law, and they were the ones that Jesus held his greatest contempt for. Religious people. As a matter of fact, the most conscientious Jew says in Romans, and I want you to hear this, in Romans 7 and 22-23, this is what this conscientious Jew says. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? That comes from the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a keeper of the law. He had religion up to his eyebrows, maybe before higher than his eyebrows. He had religion. He was the Jew's Jew. He was a religious man. And yet his heart was hard, and he was willing to kill Christians, to hold the coats of those who stoned one of our first disciples. He was one who came like a roaring lion, seeing who he could destroy. It wasn't until he was struck blind on the road to Damascus, on the road that he was taking to destroy others, he was struck blind, and in his blindness, he found the light of the world. Religion cannot change a heart. Only something else can do that. He found that trying to change his life by the law was like trying to push a large stone uphill. It required lots of sweat and effort, but when you got it to the top of the hill, you still couldn't see. You still were blind. You still did not have the heart that God wants you to have. Perhaps you have a similar experience today. Maybe you feel as though, hey, Pastor, I've attended church. I've come all the time. I've tithed. I've done all these things that the church asked me to do. And maybe you've come hoping and praying that you would be changed. But you found that your heart and soul still turns toward wickedness, toward selfishness, toward greed, toward lust. You're still not transformed. So, what does change the heart? Give me three things. I'll do all three. What changes the heart? Well, Jeremiah 1:33 tells us. God says, I will put my law in their hearts. God is saying, I'll do what you're incapable of doing. You cannot put the law in your hearts. No matter what you try, no matter how many people scream at you about fear, no matter how much money you have, no matter how any religious person is, you cannot have what I alone will give. He transforms you. He makes a new hunger for you. In Ezekiel 36:26, he says, I will give you a new heart and put into you a new spirit. God alone can transform you. He can create in you a new hunger and thirst for himself. He, God, can do that. The best illustration I know is of a woman who has a relationship with a man, and in a moment, something very mysterious happens. That living seed takes root, and she is carrying a new life within her. She doesn't even know. Many times, she has no idea. She goes about her business, she works. It's a while before it begins to show. It takes a little while for this new life to reveal itself. She knows that she has some strange taste, perhaps. She likes pickles with her ice cream. Something is changing. We see someone, we think we want to be politically correct. We don't want to say, oh, you're heavier, or you're having a baby, or whatever. We're very politically correct about noticing the change. Same thing with the spiritual change. The people at your work, the people at your home, the people that you know see a subtle change in you, and they're afraid to say, what's happened? I know that my sisters, who knew me when I was not a very nice person, and they had seen me run around and do all kinds of things, and I'd left them alone back in Houston, and my parents had died, and they were my younger sisters, and they had both grown up, and I went back to Houston, and my eldest of my two younger sisters said to my wife, well, Roy has changed. He's changed. I wasn't the same person that I was the last time she saw me. I had changed. She didn't know how to enunciate the change. She didn't know why the change had taken place. But she did notice a change. You see, that's what happens. When the Holy Spirit comes inside, there are various things that happen to us. There are things that change us. What are the things that change us? After a time, you will see that new life manifesting itself. And this is God-given. God breathed into them. And then they knew the Holy Spirit. God breathes into us, and we know that we are changed. We are transformed. That repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ comes first. We find out that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Where does that knowledge come from? It comes from God revealing to us that we are sinners in need of a Savior. God begins to change the inner man, the heart, the inside of a man's heart and soul. There was a time when you may have been unresponsive to God. You came to church, but it didn't change you or inspire you. You never took anything with you outside to ponder. You never said, oh, well, let's talk about that. This troubles me, or that's something I need to get into deeper. You never had that experience. But something did change, and it has inspired you, and you keep coming back. And the reason you keep coming back is because you have a hunger and a thirst for God. That is the beginning. That is the change. That is the change of your heart. It is focusing not just on yourself. It is focusing on God. All you knew is you had this new hunger for God that was implanted by the Holy Spirit, but you don't know how it's manifested. Jesus wrote of the new heart experience this way in Mark 7. Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods? What comes out of a man that defiles him? That comes from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulterous, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evils come from within and defile a man. On that occasion, a very deeply religious man named Nicodemus came to Jesus, and they asked him about the secret of a new heart. And Jesus told him that it was only the Holy Spirit of God that could create a new heart in you. He asked him about that, and Jesus referred him back to Jeremiah 31:1. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. There is absolute certainty of this new covenant. He is pointing this out to Nicodemus. It is certain that in eternity, you will have the desire of your heart. You will either be with the one who came to give himself to you, or you will live forever away from him. You'll either be the one who loved you so much that he came and filled every desire of your heart, gave you the fullness of life and life eternal, or you will not. Where do you think your heart is today? Do you identify with the person who is in the church but not in Christ? Do you identify with the person who feels like there's still something on the outside that you can do, the laws you can keep, the laws you can obey, instead of just yielding to God? Do you still think that you can be frightened into heaven, or that you can be led into heaven by prosperity or religion? No. The only way to get there is to come through Christ Jesus, who says, "Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Follow me." How do you have a broken and contrite heart? It's not because of something you did. God breaks your heart. He broke mine just yesterday. I was singing the hymns. I have hymns on the screen in the back as well as on the sides. And I could look up and I listened to the words as I sang them. It broke my heart and tears flowed down my face. God broke my heart. Is God allowed to break yours?
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.